Divine Entertainment presents, in association with Aleph J.O. Film Studio and Cinemaginaire, the Artist Specials. A man in his mid-30s with long, shaggy hair and a mustache giggles and grins and makes faces at himself in a mirror as he works on a series of self-portrait sketches in his candlelit studio. Rembrandt, Fathers and Sons. Created by David Devine and Richard Moser. Producer Yano Party. Co-producers Daniel Louis and Denise Robert. Casting Anne Tate and Elizabeth Ritchie. Composer Lou Pamonti. Editor Rick Morden. Production designer Cameron Porteous. Director of Photography, Rick McGuire. Written by Anne McNaughton. Produced by Richard Mosher. Produced and directed by David Devine. Carrying a candle, a young woman with long curling hair and dimples approaches the man. His noises make her giggle.
Very attractive.
How about this?
He bares his teeth. She considers the sketches.
I like this one better.
He looks at her lovingly.
I was thinking of you.
Smiling at him happily, she leans forward and blows out the candle. People stroll about a large square in Amsterdam in 1641. A boy of 12, wearing a black cloak and a black hat with a long peak, darts through the market, fleeing from a group of brightly costumed children. They're noticed by the artist and the young woman.
Look! Rembrandt, do something.
He takes out a sketch pad.
To save him?
A tall, gray-bearded man appears.
If you don't do something, I will.
As the man halts the children, Rembrandt follows the woman over to them.
Ah, good day, maestro.
You, Rabbi Ben Israel. My wife, Saskia von Rhein.
Saskia is quite pregnant.
No wonder you're famous if you can control the children of Amsterdam. Who knows what would have happened to that boy if you hadn't stopped him?
What's the meaning of this, running wild in the streets, frightening the neighbors?
We didn't mean to, ma'am. We were just having fun.
No harm done. I expect more from my son.
Your son?
The boy doffs his hat.
Samuel Ben Israel, at your service.
Or should we call you Hamlet?
Wicked advisor to King Ahasuerus, at your service.
Oh, you were play acting.
On a way to the synagogue.
It's the festival of Purim. The children reenact the story of how Esther saved the Jews from the wicked Haman.
Well, you were very convincing.
Samuel is a great one for play acting.
The boy steps over to Rembrandt, who's been sketching.
You've gone perfectly.
Rembrandt shows the rabbi.
No, it is not permitted. A rabbi may not be portrayed in graven images. It's a commandment.
With his thumb, Rembrandt erases the charcoal sketch.
Gone. No harm done. Well, we should be getting to the synagogue.
Happy Purim.
Purim is the happiest festival there is.
With a smile, Samuel follows the others. Rembrandt and Saskia watch them go. Later, in the studio.
I am so sick of looking at his face.
A couple of apprentices work side by side.
How many self-portraits can you do? Rembrandt with a hat. Rembrandt without a hat. Rembrandt in fur. What's with the fur? What's with the hat?
Nearby, Rembrandt is with a client.
When I have my own studio, no fur, no hats.
Saskia comes in with a tray of refreshments.
You're not the only portrait artist in Amsterdam.
Just the best.
Hello, my dear.
Hello.
You talk some sense into him.
Never try to talk sense to a hungry man, Captain. Have one of my special biscuits.
Oh, thank you.
My wife is a unique cook.
Ah.
Just cheese for me.
The captain takes a bite and freezes.
Good. Aren't they?
Forcing a smile, he nods. Then, as she turns away, he deposits the mouthful in a soldier's helmet.
Remember, my offer won't last forever.
Let me think about it.
With a wave, the captain takes his leave.
What offer?
One of the group portraits for the militia's new assembly hall.
That's a feather in your cap.
Bunch of men standing around admiring themselves.
Some of the most important men in the city.
Well, same kind of portrait I've been painting for years, only bigger. What's the challenge in it?
I'm sure you could find a way to make it more interesting.
She kisses him. A few days later, Rembrandt leaves an art auction with another painter.
Consolation prize.
Well, I had to buy something after losing the Raphael. You bid on it too, didn't you, Vanderhaus?
3,500 guilders for a portrait of a minor Italian nobleman? That's twice as much as I'm getting for a militia group portrait.
Yes, I'm supposed to do one too. But how do you make it different?
Give them what they want.
Give them what they want. It's probably what Raphael had in mind when he painted Baltasare Castiglione.
They're joined by the rabbi and his son.
A magnificent addition to your collection.
After some spirited bidding, you didn't come away empty-handed.
All part of the fun. Did you enjoy the auction?
The golden goblets from the temples of the Aztecs were amazing.
And the shell collection?
My uncle sent me some just like them from Brazil. I'm going to go to the New World myself one day.
Your future is here. And my son must put aside such foolish ideas. When Samuel becomes bar mitzvah, he will accept that the good of our community comes before his own selfish interests.
He starts off with Rembrandt.
Your good, you mean?
Samuel follows them.
We must become leaders and teachers.
Does that mean he can't be curious about the rest of the world? You yourself are famous for your breadth of interest, Rabbi.
That's different.
If anything, I'd say Samuel has inherited your inquiring mind.
He can be more inquiring after he's done what's expected of him.
I'll let Samuel come visit my studio. It's a reward for his studies. My collection is smaller than the one we just saw, but there are a few treasures that might interest you.
Please, Father?
The rabbi nods.
Thank you.
I'll expect you then.
Soon after, Samuel hustles up the stairs to Rembrandt's studio, where the artist is trying on hats for another self-portrait.
Too big. Too perky. Too purple.
The next one appeals to the apprentices.
Yeah, too feathery.
But not to the maestro.
No. No, not big enough.
Samuel watches, amused, as Rembrandt tries on a huge headpiece.
No.
The next possibility is Samuel's choice. It's a simple cloth cap.
Perfect.
Samuel spots a sketch.
Baltasare Castiglione. Are you going to copy the Raphael?
No. I'm going to do a self-portrait in the style of Raphael.
Oh. So you start by getting in the mood?
It's like a dare. This is a copy of Ariosto. By the Italian master, Titian. You notice anything?
They're in the same pose.
Right. Raphael did his painting in the same manner to prove he was better than Titian.
And you're going to do yours to prove you're better than both of them.
Big deal. Anyone can draw a picture like that.
The apprentice, Gerard, is not impressed.
Maybe I'll do one myself.
He smiles at the idea.
A leopard skin from Africa.
Rembrandt and Samuel are selecting props from the artist's sizable collection.
Can you imagine eating a snail this big?
He shows the boy a conch shell the size of his head.
And over here, we have...
Captain Banning Coke comes up the stairs as Rembrandt picks up the helmet.
Leftover biscuit.
He puts the helmet on Samuel's head, then turns to his visitor.
Ah, Captain. You wouldn't know anything about this, would you?
No idea. Now, a simple yes or no. That's all I want. Bartholomeus Vanderhelst is more than happy to take the commission if you're not interested.
Vanderhelst, that hack.
Oh, his first militia portrait has created quite a stir.
He's as dull as ditch water. He's highly overrated.
I agree. All the more reason for you to demonstrate what a real artist can do.
All right. But not because of Vanderhelst. If I take this on, it's to reinvent the group portrait.
Well, let's not get carried away here.
Or you could go elsewhere.
I'm not ready to do that. Yet.
As the captain leaves, Rembrandt looks at Samuel and gives the boy a wink. Later, Rembrandt and the apprentices are having dinner when Saskia comes from the kitchen with a platter.
Anyone for a piece of hot apple tart?
No, thanks. I have work to finish up in the...
Studio.
Me too.
The apprentices rush out.
My goodness. I've never seen them so eager to return to work. Rembrandt. You agreed to do the militia portrait. You deserve a double portion for that.
You shouldn't tire yourself out baking all the time, not in your condition.
I'm fine. I hope our son isn't a worrywart like his father.
Or a flibberty gibbet like his mother.
Or a spendthrift at auctions.
Or a man who loves his wife too much and lets her lead him around by the nose.
You do not.
He tickles her. Oh. She gets him to stop. But it's only to tickle him back. That evening, in the rabbi's house, Samuel is working at a printing press when his father comes in.
Why weren't you in shul?
You said I can visit the maestro's studio.
Not for the whole day.
I came here instead. We're behind in our print order.
Nothing. Nothing is more important than your Torah studies. So no more visits to the Van Rijn studio, no more hiding out here in the printing shop until I am satisfied with your bar mitzvah text.
We're never satisfied.
How would it look? The rabbi's son stumbling through the most important ceremony of a boy's life.
It's all you care about. How it would look. It's not my fault you're in trouble with the other rabbis.
Who said that?
Everyone knows you can't keep your temper. That's why they don't want you in Brazil. You're too hard to get along with.
That's enough.
And now you're taking it on me.
I said that's enough. While you're living in my house, you will obey me. Is that understood?
Yes, Father.
Satisfied, the rabbi leaves. Samuel watches him go. Late that night, from a window of the rabbi's house, a rope of knotted bedsheets is unfurled. A bundle follows it to the ground. From the window of his studio across the square, Rembrandt watches Samuel climb down the rope and gather up the bundle. Glancing around, Samuel spots the artist at the candlelit window and holds a pleading finger to his lips. Rembrandt nods, and the boy hurries off into the night. The next morning, the rabbi comes out and finds the rope of knotted bedsheets hanging from the window. Agitated, he makes his way across the square to Rembrandt's house. Inside...
He went to his room last night after a disagreement. When I went to wake him for morning services, his bed was undisturbed. It could have been any time.
Samuel has disappeared.
You haven't by any chance seen the boy?
I was in the studio till late.
Well, better to check closer to home before casting the net wide, huh?
I'm sure you'll turn up safe and sound.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry to disturb you.
Good luck.
As the rabbi leaves, Saskia considers her husband.
Samuel didn't seem like the kind of child to run away. Such a clever boy.
Maybe too clever for his own good.
What's that supposed to mean?
Only that one never knows what goes on in someone else's house.
Do you know something?
Not exactly. Samuel and his father don't seem to be on the best of terms. All right, I might have seen him on the Breestrat last night.
Which way was he going?
Towards the harbor.
That's no place for a 12-year-old boy.
A runaway doesn't have a lot of choices. There's an uncle in Brazil. There's nothing Samuel'd like better than to join him in the new world.
Well, you have to tell Manasseh.
I can't. I promised.
How would you feel if he was our son and someone else did nothing?
Rembrandt looks at her, but makes no answer. Soon after, however, he strolls through the harbor.
Excuse me. Looking for a boy about that size.
Boy, I saw one over there.
Ah, thank you very much, sir.
He gives the man a coin.
Oh, thanks.
Then follows his direction.
Samuel? Samuel? Well, you might as well come out. I know you're there, Samuel.
What do you want?
Make sure you're all right.
I'm fine.
You sure you can trust these people? That merchant over there sold you out for a single guilder.
Then I'll stow away. There are other ships. I'm going to Brazil, and no one's going to stop me.
Rembrandt sits down beside the boy.
Things really so bad at home?
Everyone thinks my father is so wonderful. So wise and such a good speaker. An expert on everything. Well, you should try being his son. It's impossible. I'm never right. I can't do anything without him saying how stupid that was, or how much I disappointed him, or how much more I have to work to live up to what he expects.
Well, everybody feels that way about their father sometimes.
I don't want to be a rabbi. I want to go into business with my uncle. I don't want to be anything like him.
Well, you can't stay here. Saskia will disown me. What if I talk to your father?
What good will that do?
You didn't see how worried he was.
Samuel is surprised at this.
Now, trust me. We can work something out.
Reluctantly, the boy gets up. In the print shop at the rabbi's house, as a page of Hebrew text is lifted from a printing plate, Rembrandt meets with Manasseh ben Israel.
Well, Maestro, I don't think you understand our traditions.
Thank you.
It is the duty and the privilege of a rabbi's son to become a man of learning.
Well, not everyone is cut out to be a scholar. I was 14 when they sent me to university at Leiden. I quit after a month.
And broke your father's heart?
No. He recognized I had to become an artist. I have to admit, I haven't done too badly following my heart.
Samuel is no artist. I mean, how am I to teach the other children of this community if my own son won't obey the commandments? Honor thy father.
You'll lose him, Manasseh.
A disrespectful, disobedient son is no son at all.
Well, just so you know, he's determined to go to Brazil. I'll keep him in my household until he can arrange safe passage.
And how am I to explain why my son is living in a Gentile household?
Tell them He's a studio apprentice. That should save your reputation.
I'll pay you the 100 guilders that you charge your other students, of course.
Rembrandt smiles wryly.
That's one thing he's inherited from you. Your stubbornness.
He leaves Manasseh to consider this. Later, in his studio, he works on a study for the group portrait.
Don't look at me.
He steps over to the subject.
Sir, turn your body. And perfect.
He hands the man a spear.
Hold this.
And steps back to his easel. Later, he works with another subject.
Gerard, where's Samuel with the helmets?
Samuel rushes in, spilling helmets and amusing the maestro. Later still, Rembrandt considers another subject.
Hold this.
He hands the man a heavy musket.
Put your hand over. Perfect. Now hold still. Perfect.
I'm finished.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
How's he doing?
Rembrandt's other assistant, Art, considers the question and shakes his head.
That bad?
Art nods. That night, Rembrandt rearranges things in the cluttered studio to make a place for Samuel to sleep.
Don't mind sharing space with my hand press. At least you'll have a little privacy.
I'm sorry I'm causing so much trouble.
Rembrandt shakes his head as he pulls down some recently dried prints.
What's this?
It's you. Like the Titian and Raphael. Baldassare Castiglione. You finished it.
Way too much ink. Can't trust him with the simplest job.
He starts preparing to make another print. Then he notices how exhausted the boy is.
This can wait till tomorrow.
He blows out a candle. Then pauses by the boy's makeshift bed.
Good night, Samuel.
Wearily, Samuel lifts his head.
Night.
Across the square, a caller knocks on the rabbi's door. Manasseh comes out to greet him. Samuel is drawn to the window of the studio. When his father sees him, the boy shrinks back. Manasseh heaves a sigh, then ushers his caller inside. Later, Samuel looks at the botched print of Rembrandt's etching. Then he sets about making a fresh print. After carefully preparing the plate, he lays a sheet of paper on it and covers them with a thick cloth. Then, slowly, he feeds them into the press. In the dining room, Samuel sits at the table with the other apprentices, devouring breakfast, as Saskia comes in with more food. Rembrandt comes in behind her. When he has everyone's attention, he holds up the botched print.
Who's responsible for this?
Gerard starts guiltily, then keeps his head down. Rembrandt holds up a fresh, clean print.
And who did this?
Now it's Samuel who keeps his head down. Rembrandt smiles.
Stop looking for his talent. He's a master printer!
He gives the boy a huge hug, to Gerard's chagrin. In the studio, Rembrandt sits at ease, watching the captain pace.
Reutenberg gets to wear yellow. Vischer says he's wearing silk brocade. And Kemp is all decked out in armor. Now I'm going to look like a crow in a flock of peacocks.
Trust me, you'll be the focus of the picture.
I'd better be for what I'm paying you. When do I see some drawings?
Walk.
can't expect my men to plunk down 100 guilders each without knowing what the portrait is going to look like. A preliminary sketch, just the composition.
There isn't one.
But there are 18 men. The politics are very delicate.
All taken into account. Hold it right there.
The captain freezes.
That's brilliant.
He starts to sketch.
Gotcha.
What'd he do?
Made him feel important. He's got a meeting from his hand now.
The captain poses happily. Some days later, Saskia, Samuel, and Rembrandt follow some strolling musicians through the market.
Maestro?
Saskia gives a juggler a coin.
Oh, look! You've got to have one.
A woman is making fritters.
My uncle has arranged passage for me to Brazil. The ship will be here in 2 to 3 months.
So soon? I mean, you're just getting the hang of things in the studio.
My uncle says that if I'm as stubborn as my father is, there's no point in me staying around to embarrass the family.
2, please.
The rabbi enters the market.
I want to go to Brazil 100 times more than I want to be a scholar.
Rembrandt's so pleased with your work. You could stay on with us.
As Samuel and Saskia move on, Rembrandt spots the rabbi and steps to meet him.
Maestro.
Rabbi.
I thought I might have seen you at the synagogue. At my sermon. For the Queen of England and her daughter Mary during her visit to Prince William.
Congratulations.
I thought it went rather well. Of course, it might only be curiosity on her part, but my sermon might have convinced her to reopen the gates of England to the Jews.
Her son is also full of accomplishments.
You want an apple?
Well, you must miss him at the printing press. He has the makings of a fine printer.
Yes, my lazy assistants certainly miss him.
And Saskia's very fond of him. She'll be disappointed if you don't say hello.
Reluctantly, Manasseh makes his way towards Samuel and Saskia. Rembrandt follows.
Good day, missus.
Oh, rabbi.
Her mouth is full of fritter.
Excuse me. This is so undignified.
No, not at all. You look lovely.
Thank you. No, everyone's been so helpful, especially Samuel. He won't let me carry a thing.
Well, may you be blessed with a healthy and beautiful son. Shalom.
Without a word to Samuel, he walks off.
Rembrandt, I want to go home.
You always spoiled everything.
I think the baby's coming.
With Rembrandt and Samuel supporting her, they head for home. Soon after, Saskia sits in bed with her newborn in her arms and her husband beside her. Smiling at him, she passes the infant to Rembrandt.
Oh, yeah.
I want to name him Titus. After your sister.
She'd have liked that.
He makes faces at the baby.
Yeah.
She can't see anything that far away.
No, but you can.
He goes on making faces.
Wow.
In the studio, the captain, dressed in black with a wide red sash, prepares to pose again.
You're fidgeting.
With a sigh, the captain assumes his pose, as Rembrandt steps back to the large group portrait he's working on.
All the other militia captains get to see what their portraits will be like.
Now you're whining.
Vanderhelst has already finished his painting. It's hanging in the militia hall.
Now you're comparing my work to Vanderhelst.
No, of course not.
Because I've seen his portrait. And if you're willing to settle for that, then I'm wasting my time here.
Well, not me. But some of the other men want to cancel the commission unless they can see what they're paying for.
I can paint them out. No one gets to see the portrait until it's finished. Now stand still.
With another sigh, the captain resumes his pose.
Who are all those other people? How would you feel if you paid good money and a complete stranger got a bigger picture than you did?
Well, it would look stupid if there are only 18 men in a militia company. Rembrandt makes it look real, like they're marching out to do something.
So what is it, a group portrait or a history lesson?
Why can't it be both?
Gerard ponders this. Later, bearing roses, Rembrandt visits Saskia and the baby.
They're magnificent.
They're blooming today, just like Titus's cheeks. Don't get up.
I want to see them. Put them in the vase, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Handing the roses to a nurse, Rembrandt reclines on the bed beside his wife, who giggles happily.
I could read something to you if you like.
No. Oh. Heavens, no. I'm feeling much stronger today. Get on with the captain's commission before he completely loses hope.
If you're sure.
Mm-hmm. He starts to go, then turns back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Go.
As he leaves, her smile turns into a grimace of pain.
That was foolish. Don't you dare tell him.
She looks from the nurse.
Either of you.
To Samuel, who holds the baby.
He's got to finish the militia portrait. It will keep him popular.
In the studio, Rembrandt steps around the large canvas to look at his apprentices who are modeling for him.
Steady, men.
As he steps behind the canvas, they relax.
She hardly eats anything.
Speaking of eating, how long is she going to keep us here?
She's getting worse and worse. She hardly gets up. And that cough. The cough is no good.
Lift it up.
The banner Art holds is slipped down over Gerard's face.
Art. The banner.
He raises it.
We've been at it for hours, Maestro. Can we please get something to eat?
Yes. Off you go.
As Art and Gerard put down their props, Samuel steps over to Rembrandt.
You need something to eat, too.
I'll be down in a minute.
He turns back to the painting. Later, in the studio, Rembrandt works on an etching. Nearby, Samuel looks at some prints.
There's so many pictures of her. Was Saskia your model?
I was living at her cousin's house. He was an art dealer. We were partners. She wouldn't have anything to do with me. I was far too serious for her. That's when she agreed to marry me.
He closes his eyes.
I pray God will keep her safe and the child healthy.
I'm praying for her too. What's that?
Well, I know your father doesn't believe in graven images, but it's a great challenge to capture that gaze.
He shows Samuel a print of his father.
He stares right through you.
He sees more than most people. Except when it comes to you. You're too close for him to see who you really are.
Not anymore.
I was hoping this afternoon you might work things out.
Don't worry. I'll be off your hands as soon as my ship docks. Forever.
That's not what I meant.
Listen, you got a big painting to finish and a new baby to look after. The last thing you need is a charity case.
He leaves. That night, all alone, Samuel lights candles for Shabbat.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam,
Asher kichadnu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lehadlik ner shel Shabbat.
Later, he sits with Saskia in her room.
Could I have some water, please?
He holds the glass for her. And then returns to the book he's studying as she nestles the baby beside her.
Could you sacrifice Titus because God said so?
I hope he would never test me so severely.
My father would leap at the chance.
Surely not. What are you studying?
The Torah. Genesis 22. It was supposed to be my bar mitzvah text.
God tests Abraham's faith by demanding he sacrifice his son Isaac.
His own father tied him up like a sheep. How do you think Isaac felt?
He had to trust his father. Abraham had to trust God. And their faith was rewarded, wasn't it? God sent the angel to redeem Isaac and promised his blessings on all Abraham's children.
But what about Isaac? How could he ever trust his father again?
Your father loves you.
He doesn't act like it.
Rembrandt comes in.
Well, I could eat a whole chicken.
Try the biscuits. It's perfectly safe I didn't make them.
She grins, but then starts to cough. Rembrandt steps toward her, concerned.
Take him to his nurse. Saskia needs some rest.
Samuel gathers the baby in his arms and starts out.
Come back, we'll have a little game.
The boy smiles and goes out. Rembrandt sits beside Saskia.
He's clever, that boy. I'll have to teach you how to play chess after he's gone.
He holds her.
I count on him for so much. Do you think we've done all we could to reconcile him with his father?
Short of locking him in the same room, yes.
With a weary sigh, she rests her head against his chest. He holds her tenderly. Then he realizes she stopped breathing. Samuel returns and sees something is wrong.
I'll get the doctor.
Rembrandt looks up, grief-stricken, then lowers his cheek to Saskia's head. Samuel hurries out. When the rabbi comes out of his house the next day, he can see his son hanging a black wreath above the door of Rembrandt's house. Heavy-hearted, Manasseh starts across the square. Inside, others have come to pay their respects, including the captain and Gerard.
What a terrible thing to happen. She was so lovely, wasn't she? I suppose this will set Rembrandt back a bit. On the portrait as well.
You could say that.
It's nearly finished, isn't it?
Oh, you've seen it then?
Oh, yes, of course I have.
The rabbi finds Rembrandt up in the studio, standing before a large portrait of Saskia, staring at her image. Manasseh approaches him softly.
I've never seen your hand still, Maestro. I am sorry for your loss.
No matter how many times I painted her, I never really captured her soul.
She had her own special light.
Couldn't accept she was sick. I could have gotten better doctors.
I'm sure you did all you could.
Rembrandt turns to him.
I hid up here. Could have spent more time with her.
She knew you loved her. Anyone could see that.
It's my fault. I wanted children.
This grief will pass, my friend. Take comfort in the son who needs you now.
As you do with Samuel.
We can't always follow our own good advice. At least you could profit from my mistake.
I want my wife back.
Rembrandt turns back to the portrait. And Manasseh reluctantly leaves him to grieve for his wife. Alone. Downstairs,
when they go young,
Manasseh looks for his son among the mourners and finds him holding the baby.
But when I have my own studio,
he makes his way over to the boy.
Samuel?
What are you doing here? You didn't care about Saskia. You hardly knew her.
She was a good woman. They are neighbors.
You just want people to know you're friends with the famous painter Rembrandt.
Manasseh sits down beside the boy.
I also hoped we would talk.
So that I could apologize. I won't.
I don't want you to go to Brazil. I may never see you again.
But you have nothing to say about it.
Samuel stalks off, leaving his father in despair. Sometime later, Rembrandt emerges from the house, still dressed in mourning. He closes the door behind him and walks off. The next day, in the studio,
no sign of him. We'll look after Titus. What are we gonna do?
Finish the portrait. Art and me. Rembrandt has abandoned his work. Do you see any other way to save the commission?
Gerard walks off. That night, Samuel is studying by candlelight when he hears the baby crying. He goes to investigate. Later, Rembrandt returns home and finds Samuel sitting by the baby's crib. The boy stares at him.
What?
You're ignoring Titus.
I can't bear the sight of him right now.
It's not his fault. He didn't do anything but be born. And now he's lost his mother. And his father.
He's well looked after.
He starts out.
How do you know? You wouldn't let me run away. Well, you can't either. Fathers have a duty to their sons. If you won't look after him, I will.
Take a baby to Brazil.
I promise, Saskia.
Rembrandt sighs and steps over to the boy.
Fathers make mistakes too. Sometimes you have to forgive them.
With a fleeting smile, Samuel places the baby in Rembrandt's arms. The next morning, Rembrandt opens the shutters in the studio and then steps over to the large portrait of the militia company. Annoyed by what he finds, he strips off his coat.
Come on, Art. Where's your ambition?
Soon after.
It's our duty to challenge our master one day.
You're ruining it. You've got to stop changing things.
They find Rembrandt hard at work on the portrait.
You're here.
See, you've been busy while I've been gone.
There was no other way to save the commission or the reputation of the studio.
At first, I wondered why you didn't show this to me.
He holds up one of Gerard's paintings.
Technically, it's quite good. But you see what's missing, Gerard?
Gerard peers at the painting.
It lacks proportion.
What are you talking about? That's perfectly to scale.
Your sense of proportion, as an artist. You have all the ambition of a grandmaster without understanding the first thing about the soul of a picture.
Soul? You think a militia company wants soul? They want prettied up versions of themselves to brag about and show off to their friends. You deliver that, your day is finished.
I wish you a long and successful career. Your apprenticeship with me is finished.
Rembrandt hands him his painting and returns to the portrait. Glancing at Art and Samuel, Gerard shuffles out. Samuel turns to Rembrandt.
The captain says you have until tomorrow, or I'll cancel the commission.
Then let's get to work.
Samuel grins, and they set to work. Ably assisted by his two apprentices, Rembrandt paints like a man possessed. Samuel stays at his side. Supplying him with fresh brushes. And fresh palettes. And peering around him at the large canvas. Samuel has finally fallen asleep. In the early morning light, Rembrandt kneels beside the boy and gently wakens him.
Today's the day. Your ship leaves with the tide. You sure you want to go?
Barely awake, the boy nods.
Well, you better pack then.
Reluctantly, Samuel prepares to get up. Later that morning, the captain strides across the square toward the artist's house. Rembrandt has added a likeness of his lovely wife to the many figures in the portrait.
He's coming!
Then we're done.
Samuel has noticed the new figure.
It's Saskia.
They step around the large canvas to meet the captain.
I've had enough of being put off. My company is the laughingstock of the entire city. I demand to see my portrait now.
Close your eyes.
Why?
Because you should see it from the best point of view.
But...
They guide him in front of the painting.
Open.
The captain is overwhelmed.
I look wonderful. Oh, my hat, my sash, my mustache, it's blowing in the breeze. Oh, and the colors, they're so vivid, they glow. The entire company looks like they're marching off the canvas.
You see it so.
The very essence of civic duty. Just one tiny little question. Who are all these other people?
Rembrandt and Samuel grin. Samuel is packing his things when Art finds him.
Samuel.
For me?
It's from your father.
He hands the boy a cloth-wrapped bundle.
Say goodbye before you leave, all right?
Samuel unwraps the bundle and finds a letter and a prayer shawl. He opens the letter.
Dear Samuel, today I hoped we would stand together on the bima to celebrate your bar mitzvah. Instead, my stubborn pride has robbed us both of this sacred moment, and you will become a man without me. Like Abraham, I am afraid, but I must have faith that God will restore you to me. One day you'll understand what it is to be a father and find it in your heart to forgive my mistake. Today in synagogue, I will celebrate the day you were born and rejoice in my love for you. Shalom, my son.
Soon after, as Manasseh starts out for the synagogue, he sees his son coming from Rembrandt's house. Putting on his yarmulke, Samuel smiles and starts toward him. They meet in the middle of the square and hug each other happily. As they head off together, Rembrandt watches from a window with the baby. Glancing back, Samuel sees him and waves. Rembrandt smiles as the reunited father and son go off arm in arm. Then, cradling his infant son in his arms, he withdraws. Cast: Tom McCamus as Rembrandt Van Ryn, Mitchell David Rothpan as Samuel Ben Israel, Carrie Matchett as Saskia Van Ryn, Paul Hecht as Rabbi Manasseh Ben Israel, Sergio Dizio as Gerard, and Ross Petty as Captain Banning Koch, with Zongor Kasai as Art. This film is dedicated to the memory of Martin O'Party and Steve Tebbett. This described version of Rembrandt, Fathers and Sons was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written and produced by Marco Soren and narrated by Valerie Hunter. For information on other described programs and audio cinema presentations available from Audio Vision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Produced with the participation of Home Box Office, YTV Canada, TFO TV Ontario, the Ontario Film and Television Tax Credit, the Government of Quebec Tax Credit Program, the Shaw Children's Programming Initiative, the Shaw Television Broadcast Fund, the Independent Production Fund, and the Canadian Film and Video Production Tax Credit. This has been a Divine Entertainment production.